Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to the Escape Pod. You're on Joy 94.9 and we've got a guest.
Yes,
hello.
Hello.
Introduce yourself, James.
I'm James Newbury, the difficult nerd on Twitter and all over the internet. And Joy alumnus, I guess.
Yeah, you're a member of the family, mm-hmm. both Rainbow and Broadcasting.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and you've been involved with Joy for quite a while, right? You've been on air, you've been back of house.
Yes, I'm taking a hiatus at the moment because my career, like all careers, gets in the way of my life, mm-hmm. but you know, it's better to have money than not.
Well, yeah, yes. Money gives you freedom and options, and that's one of the good things about it.
And today we're going to talk about one of the things I particularly like doing with my money, which is international travel.
Exactly. You've just used some of your freedom and options just recently and just got back.
Yes, I've just gotten back from a 3-week tour of Japan, and then I decided to take a week in Taiwan and another week in Hong Kong, where I played up no end.
Excellent. Well, Japan and Hong Kong are both well-traveled places. A lot of Australians have been there, and we're going to hear a lot more about what you did in, mm-hmm. in your recent trip. Taiwan's an interesting one. It's not a place that people really look to go to, and it's so close and accessible. What was your first impression?
It very much reminded me of Beijing, but only with breathable air. very urban, very much a developing
instead
economy.
Instead of chewable
air, yes, which yes. However, I don't think it is a tourist mecca.
Why is that? Do they structure themselves that way, or is it just the happenstance?
I think it's the happenstance. I don't think they have really developed a tourism industry. There are very few attractions. But having said that, part of my travel approach is to explore strange places and just see how other people live. And the reason I chose to go to Taiwan was with all of this Chinese century we're about to have, I wanted to understand what Taiwan and what the Taiwan Strait meant. And you can't really get that from books or geopolitical texts or treatises. What you really need to do is go there and be on the ground mm-hmm. and experience the place for yourself and understand what these people are thinking. And I walked away wondering what the big deal was.
How do you mean?
Well, China really desperately wants to own Taiwan. And the question is, why? It's very different. It's got its own identity, its own feeling, its own food. Aside from the language, it really is a unique part of the Chinese diaspora.
Hmm. Interesting. So what are the differences that you'd mark? Because you've been to China before, and the Chinese culture is globally exported, it's especially with food and not so much music, but other parts of the Chinese culture everywhere you go.
Yes.
And it's a loved culture, but it's also far more complex than...
It's far more complicated than we get.
Of course it is. But what marked Taiwan from that sort of pan-Chinese...
The small things, the attitude to life. For instance, in mainland China, there is very much a overwhelming sense of being part of a whole, and at the same time, a sense of individual joy. Whereas in Taiwan, I didn't get any of that. I got the same feeling you get when you go to, say, Adelaide, but with obviously far bigger population density. It was an anonymous place. So I don't suggest people should actually travel there unless they're curious about Taiwan itself.
Well, what was remarkable about the food and the culture and the day-to-day getting around and living? What was your impressions? Taiwan is a place that I've never really heard anyone talk about, although I know Taiwanese people, but they don't really sort of sit down and go, our public transport system is this.
The public transport system is amazing.
Yeah.
In Taipei, the subway or the MRT is quite literally the cleanest place in the city. You could perform surgery in the MRT. It is almost that clean. Mm. I mean, you might want to wipe it down first, obviously.
Get some Purell out.
Yes, it's very orderly, the MRT. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get around. It's easier than taxis, in fact, to,
really?
To use the... I find that in most cities, but this one is particularly well thought out.
Mm.
Unlike Mikey, the public transport cards work properly.
Mm.
It is.
See, I've never had a problem with Mikey, and I use public transport daily. It's. I hear people talk about the problems. I just haven't experienced them.
Maybe you're just really lucky.
Mm.
Anyway, let's not talk about Melbourne.
It beeps.
It beeps.
I pay a lot of money. It beeps.
Yeah, everybody
I get
goes
off.
I'm happy.
It's that easy.
Oh my!
I know, right? Moving on.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Taiwan was somewhere that. If you're going to explore the world, it's definitely somewhere worth visiting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going for the typical Western tourist, let's have a holiday, drink a lot of shots and get drunk by a beach, do not go. You will be disappointed.
Mm.
To explore, though, it is an assault on your senses. The smells,
What's the population of Taipei?
The population of Taipei is around 26 million, I think.
Right, so it's a huge city.
It's a huge
city.
It's
a big Asian, modern...
No, not modern.
Ah, my impression was Taiwan
it's
was more like Hong Kong.
It's like Hong Kong was maybe 15 years ago.
Ah, okay.
It's missing...
So it's still developing.
It's still developing in a big way.
Right.
But there are... The way they've built the infrastructure, like the airports and such, very well laid out and designed to grow into. Mm. It's odd in the sense that one of the things I noticed first up was you can't catch the train straight into the city. The train doesn't connect to the airport, much like Melbourne, which is very unusual.
They must have transurban contracts.
Yeah, they must indeed. And the high-speed rail system works brilliantly. Then you find yourself in the middle of the town, and you get into the taxis, and you've got corrupt taxi drivers. Typical Chinese diaspora kind of stuff.
Mm.
So you've got to bribe the taxi driver.
So the taxi driver's coming from mainland China. Is that a typical sort of worker-labourer thing that people come from mainland China and they're used as cheaper resources for labour in Taiwan?
I'm not entirely sure about that, but it does seem that way.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't speak really
That's
much.
Right.
About their economy. Their economy is based around manufacturing for cheap labour.
Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job of technology.
They do a really good job of technological development.
Mm.
The tourism trade is not heard of. Most of the hotels are geared around business travellers. So, you know, you've got that more sort of traditional approach to hoteliers. Then...
So... As a tourist, how are you received then? If it's not a country that's exposed itself to the tourism market, I'm sure it will. All countries do because it's good money. How did you get received as a tourist?
It was
like, what are you doing here?
No. People just assumed that I was on business, and you know, it was kind of odd. It was in the hotels that I made my first ever bad hotel booking. After traveling the entire world, I finally have stayed in a bad hotel.
Tell us about the bad hotel.
Are
we talking cockroaches?
We're talking worse. It was
a bee's nest, a hive, a corpse.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was a corpse. I walked into the first room and there was this smell that felt like it was permeating me. It was genuinely disgusting, and.
Was it a decay kind of smell?
It was the smell of decaying mold.
The
hotel has received 5 stars on TripAdvisor, right? And I thought, oh my god,
very industrious staff with TripAdvisor accounts.
And I thought when I booked it, well, this will be reasonable. You know, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
And then I went into this hotel and discovered what could go wrong. The smell of the first room was beyond... I cannot...
Rancid?
Rancid is probably a reasonable word.
Putrid?
Putrid doesn't quite capture... anyway, I couldn't obviously stay in that room, so I asked to change rooms, and that turned into a bit of a kerfuffle. Eventually, I got a second room... I love a kerfuffle. I got a second room in the hotel, and that one smelled marginally, well, different...
Less worse.
Less worse. Still...
Same, but less worse.
Yes, exactly. Still an odour I have not experienced in my life.
But a different one?
But a different one, yes. So, you know, I think...
So you were treated to variety.
I think that was the theme.
Is that your five-star review on TripAdvisor, that there was a variety of experiences?
I don't know, Mark, if I should actually write a negative review because, you know, let me describe this hotel to you, okay? This building was clearly the height of taste and sophistication in 1981.
Right.
Okay. And then they decided, why mess with the good thing?
Yeah. Joan Crawford is popular. Let's keep her.
Let's keep her.
No, Joan Collins. Sorry.
And they hadn't changed anything. No repainting. No. Oh, it was just...
When you're on a good thing, stick to it.
When you're on a good thing, stick to it. Indeed. So that was unfortunate. Mm. I was able to tolerate the second room. It was very late at night. It was about 1 o'clock by this point, and I just thought, well, I will sleep, and in the morning I will change hotels. Mm-hmm. And that's precisely what I did. And then I went to the other end of the price spectrum and spent a ridiculous amount of money on the Landis Hotel in Taipei, which I cannot rave enough.
Which hotel?
The Landis Hotel. It's part of the Four Seasons.
Okay. Yeah. They're the top of the tree.
Yes, a slight improvement. And, you know, if you've got a problem when traveling, and I think this is one of the key things people forget, is that traveling, you're going to run into problems. Mm-hmm. The trick is to have enough money in reserve that you can deal with them. And I just threw my credit card at this problem, and then Taiwan improved dramatically. I thoroughly recommend it.
Look, I couldn't endorse that more. We've talked and we've actually had shows about travel insurance, making sure people get travel insurance and plenty of access to funds, either cash in account or a credit card or a spare credit card, so that when you're on the way, and it's such a precious, limited amount of time you get to travel and be somewhere, be in the position where you can throw some money at it.
Exactly.
Keep a spare couple of $100 to the side in your sock, whatever it is. If something goes wrong, there's always someone who's prepared to take your money from you and give you something of value
exactly,
in return.
Exactly. Commerce is wonderful.
Yeah.
I believe in having about 20% just sitting quietly in the bank account.
Yep. Great idea. And I know that that's not always feasible for people, and people like to travel on a shoestring, but do your best just to have a little nest egg, a little bit of security, because if it does go awry, it doesn't have to be the Four Seasons, but...
Well, no. I mean, perhaps...
There are plenty of options.
But at this point, I was just so overwhelmed. I had been travelling for nearly 4 weeks. I just was... I wanted to be pampered.
Mm.
I wanted to be pampered. And I make no apologies for that, Mark.
No, you shouldn't.
I just decided... We're having this, and we're doing it nicely.
We're going to hear more about that fantastic hotel room on Escape Pod at Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
James Newbury, you've just come back from Asia, and if you've not been listening to the whole show, James has travelled through, well, he's been an extensive traveller. You've got a long career, successful career in travelling, and Asia was your latest look in. You've been there before. Taiwan we were talking about. You were telling me off air somewhere very interesting.
Yes.
Controversial, maybe.
Controversial, and I expect a call from Joy Management at any moment. I went to Macau and I gambled lots. It was very unfortunate.
Now, you posted on Facebook.
Yes.
Their currency.
Yes.
Their multi-hued currency.
Yes, it became quite amusing. I, as a computer nerd, love numbers, and one of the numbers I love to crunch is statistics.
Right.
This sets one up for a reasonable stab at the poker tables in Macau, and I decided that since I was on holidays, I would take a little bit of a one-hour trip from Hong Kong and go to Macau and play poker for a little while. And it turns out that when I'm not in my own currency, I'm actually okay.
So how do you mean? What went on? What went down?
Okay, so the
take
first...
us through Ocean's 15.
Ocean's 15. The first thing to remember is that when gambling in Macau, they don't gamble in Macau's own currency, the MOP.
Is it really called the MOP?
It's really called... Its currency code is the MOP, the MOP. It has a Portuguese name that I can't pronounce, but yes, they don't use it. They use Hong Kong dollars. So when you're when you arrive, the ATMs will dispatch both Hong Kong dollars and the local
MOPs.
Macau currency, MOPs. Don't take the MOPs. Take the Hong Kong dollars.
Why is that?
Because everyone...
The MOPs are useless.
They'll take the MOPs everywhere except for the casinos. And if you're gambling, you're gambling in...
Do they take Hong Kong dollars everywhere in Macau? Is it one
of
those places?
Yes, everywhere.
That, yeah. And what about US dollars as well?
I imagine if I handed over US dollars, that'd be fine. But I only travel with Aussie and Euros.
Yep.
So I found myself in Macau with all of this Macau currency. And fortunately, the casinos will buy your currency for your convenience. So, and nothing to do with their profit margin at all.
No,
so,
I'm sure they do it at a very generous rate to themselves.
Oh, of course. Of course they do. So I decided that I would buy into a poker game and I started playing. And it's very odd playing in a currency that's not your own with a different base rate. For instance, in Australia, a dollar buys us, I don't know, a can of Coke maybe. Mm. Whereas in Hong Kong, it requires 6 Hong Kong dollars to buy a can of Coke if you're getting a bargain.
Mm.
So instantly, I had no idea of what was a lot of money. All of that emotional stuff went away for me. And
what's the exchange rate? Does it look like Monopoly money?
It looks like Monopoly money. It's not real money. It's
Lots of zeros.
One Australian dollar is roughly 7 to 1, depending on where we're at. It's between 6 and 7 to 1. And it made no sense to me. So suddenly I have no attachment to money. And I'm...
So it's like Monopoly money.
It's just Monopoly money. I'm just playing numbers in my head. Mm. And I sit down at this table and I bought in, after I worked it out later, I had bought into my gambling adventure for in the order of 275 Australian dollars. And I had walked out of the casino with in the order of 4,500 Australian dollars.
Wow. We don't endorse gambling, but
we don't endorse gambling.
We don't.
We really don't. And we don't in any way glorify it. And I am a shaky poker player, but it was really bizarre watching the dynamics of the table. A lot of people.
So, what was the mix of the customers? Were they
most of the customers
mostly from mainland China and Hong Kong?
Mostly from mainland China. Usually, they were either Westerners doing a visa run, which is a concept we're all familiar with,
mm-hmm.
or alternatively, they were rather well-off people who were trying to show off their ability to lose money and that they could afford to lose money.
Wow, that is fascinating.
So. And I figured, why not subsidize my trip at one point? But I had no idea what was a lot of money in the middle of the table.
Until you got it back.
Until I got it back. And I'm like, well, okay. I had all these chips. I took them up. I cashed them in and walked away with all these banknotes. And then when I got back to Hong Kong, I'm like, well, how much money do I have? And I laid the money out on the bed and put it on Facebook saying, you know, look, I've got all this money now and that's fantastic. And then I did the exchange rates and I realized that I had a lot of money. I recommend if you are a good poker player to give it a shot. If, on the other hand, you're a bad poker player, don't, because they can be vicious. They don't get happy when they lose money. They're taking it far too seriously and not having fun.
See, a casino to me is the most horrible concept in the world. You go there, you put money at risk, and you're around a bunch of miserable people who are usually smoking.
It was non-smoking.
It was non-smoking. Oh, okay.
So yeah. that was brilliant. The poker room of the Wynn Macau is non-smoking, which is...
Oh, is it a Wynn?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tend to be, you know, middle of the range when I travel.
I work hard and I'm happy to spend money on a great hotel. Mm. And that's just a personal proclivity. I know a lot of other people that as long as they can sleep safely and get clean in the morning, that's all they need.
Yes, and I'm jealous of them, to be honest.
Yeah. I like that idea, but the only stars I sleep under are 5.
Oh, I agree with
and
you.
And I work very hard to do that, and I don't mind spending some money.
No. It's and you're dead an awfully long time.
Absolutely, and every day we're another step closer, so make the most of it. We don't know how many opportunities we've got, and that's my personal point of view. I know that's not everybody's cappuccino, but that's okay.
But so, Macau, I want to talk about the architecture of Macau.
Oh, yeah, tell
okay,
us.
Okay, so...
Very Portuguese-y?
No, I want you to imagine Las Vegas, okay?
Yeah.
And I want you to imagine that the Chinese people went to Las Vegas and went, this is nice, but can you build us a lavish one?
And maybe tacky with LEDs everywhere.
Yes. And then they went, and we know how Chinese restaurants, good Chinese restaurants, tend to be a little bit over the top in terms of decor, if we're honest, right? I want you to imagine a Chinese restaurant inside a casino, which is already completely over the top. I was blown away with the dripping gold, the red paint everywhere.
Mm.
It was beyond amazing, and yet at the same time, just gauche. You have to see it to believe it. I don't necessarily recommend gambling in these places, but I do recommend at least visiting because it's warm and humid and balmy and lovely and completely over the top.
Looking out the window and seeing this sleet that, we've been dealt today, my mind is wandering very swiftly to Asia. And because Asia's just such a great travel destination. Everywhere you go.
Well, it's warm.
It's a huge part of the world.
It's a so huge diverse. Part of the world.
The cultures are brilliant. The food's
amazing. It's affordable.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's safe.
The people are great.
The people are very welcoming. Mm. And I think that Asia is something we need to do as Australians. We are part of Asia. We just need to accept it and go explore our backyard.
That.
Yes, indeed. But a lot of people feel that we're still European, and that's simply not true. Look at a map. It's not true.
Well, geographically, there's no way. I don't even know where we'd be called Western, because we're about as southeast as you can possibly get without falling off the globe.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. We're on the... Yeah, it, but...
And
Asia's
diverse. Yeah,
absolutely.
We've had a couple of messages in. Rodney Chang Cruz, thank you very much. Rodney said that he's been over 40 times in 15 years to Taiwan, and he doesn't necessarily agree that it's not a huge tourist destination. Thanks, Rodney, for that point of view. He's saying that perhaps not for Westerners from Australia, but it's a huge tourist destination for people from the rest of Asia. So that's an interesting thing.
No,
would
that's
you,
true.
Yeah?
There were a lot of mainland tourists there, and... A lot of Mandarin, native Mandarin speakers there as tourists.
Yeah. Do you speak any...
I speak enough Mandarin to get into trouble.
But not enough to get out again?
No.
So it's like me and my Arabic.
I can ask for consular assistance in several languages.
Yeah, though, that's so. Not a bad idea. And throw in some waving and you're right.
Yes, and you're fine.
So that's a really interesting point. And Rodney says that it's modern, it's a fun place to visit. And he, I mean, having had been there 40 times in 15 years, I mean, I think Rodney's got a...
Well, Rodney has a Taiwanese husband, so I can understand how he would have a soft pot. I'm sorry, Rodney, and I'm very, very
Do you know
sorry.
Rodney?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
I'm very sorry. I just disagree. I don't think... You know how there are places in the world you go, I'd love to go back there in 10 years and see how it's changed or see how it's developed. I never want to go to Taiwan again.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm really, this piqued my interest to go, because I haven't been to 6 years, no, 5 years ago that I was in an Asian country, and I missed the smell, the particular tropical Asian
the
smell.
The earthy Asian
tropical smell.
Yes,
yeah.
That's quite nice. That's quite nice.
It's the only
place, not in Taiwan. It's in Hong Kong. That smell of Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Taiwan.
No, it's not actually there. It's a different smell.
Oh.
It's like that smell mixed with chow su and not particularly good chow su. So I don't, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Rodney, thank you very much for messaging in. It's really good to have that different point of view. And we've got another message in from Dave, and who also endorses the point of view, always have extra dollars for anything unforeseen. Can't stress that enough. Get yourself some travel insurance. It's a really important thing to do.
Well, travel insurance is really cheap. I just insured myself for, I think, 5 weeks for $100. Now, when you consider the money that it costs to go overseas... Mm. Why wouldn't you carry insurance?
Insurance and a bit of saving. I know that we always try and use our resources as wisely as possible, but
all it takes is slipping over and breaking a leg, and you've ruined your entire financial future without travel insurance.
Oh my God, you sound like the Grim Reaper. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We've had a message in from one of our Joy saying, did you have any... special cuddles.
A gentleman never kisses and tells, but that's okay because I didn't kiss.
Thank you, Mr. Lennart, for your question.
No, I find when travelling, I'm not the most attractive boy on the planet, so I don't bother with any of those GPS-based dating apps, and I don't concern myself with any of that stuff. If other people want to go on an orgy of tourism, so to speak, then good luck to them, but I can't speak intelligently on that. I'm sorry, Mr. Lennox. But Cathay Pacific's very cheap. I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend getting on the plane and exploring for yourself.
Do it for yourself.
Yeah, do it for yourself.
There you go. You're about to read out something very exciting for our listeners. I hope everyone's got next to either a phone or a computer, because we've got a giveaway.
We have a giveaway. It's a double pass to the Human Rights Arts and Film Festival, God Loves Uganda, on Wednesday, 21 July at 6:15 p.m. at the Acme Cinemas, Federation Square. The Human Rights and Arts Film Festival and Joy 94.9 present the Melbourne premiere of God Loves Uganda. This powerful film set in Uganda tracks American evangelical Christians who are joining forces with local pastors in the recent turn towards biblical law. The film questions their underlying motivations and explores their influence and beliefs that they are having on young Ugandans. Thanks to the Human Rights and Arts Film Fest State... Oops, I beg your pardon. Thanks to the Human Rights Arts and Film Festival and Acme Cinemas, Joy 94.9 is proud media partner for HRAF 2014.
Awesome.
You can simply email us and let us know you want to enter that. Include your membership number and we'll go from there.
It's not necessarily, I don't believe, a comfortable film to watch, but I think it's fascinating. It's with what's going on in Uganda. I mean, all of Africa is going through so many social changes and economic changes, and it's a fascinating part of the world. And seeing how quickly things are developing, and everyone's on a mobile phone with the internet and wherever you are, it's amazing all the changes in Africa. But yeah, religiously.
I think colonialism has an awful lot to answer for around the world. I mean, in a lot of ways. And anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, well, we did have a message in from Howard from Mentone. Thank you very much for your comment. He phoned in to Joy, which you can do if you want to comment. 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949.
That's for the SMS.
Yeah, that's for the SMS. Or you can phone us on 1300-JOY-949 or email us on air@joy.org.au. If you've got any questions or you'd like to pass any comments or you just want to say hi, go for it. And Howard did, and he phoned in on 1300-JOY-949 and left a message that he believes Australia is definitely more of a Western country than an Eastern country because our historical culture, I believe that he's referring to the last 200 and blah years.
Howard, I love you, darling, but look at a map. So let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going back to that map, you were talking Macau, you were talking being a high flyer.
Well, Macau is not so much a high flyer. It's very.
Did you have any packers swanning around you?
No,
a
unfortunately.
Pack of packers?
Nor any curs or any of
no?
that. No. No, no, it was most unfortunate. I think that Macau is. It is. The Vegas of it, we are never going to be able to compete with that in terms of high roller gambling and tourism. It is just so gauche in a good way. I thoroughly recommend it just for a visit, just a day trip to see how over the top it is. Don't gamble any money. Just go see it.
How Portuguese was the...
It's not. It's a North American city in the middle of Asia.
Right, okay. It's Nevada.
It's Las Vegas.
It's Nevada with noodles.
Nevada with noodles and humidity, yeah. It is...
Oh, Nevada is humid.
It is amazing.
No good noodles, though.
No good noodles? No.
A lot of great things in Nevada. My ex used to live in Las Vegas for a while before coming to join me in Australia and really enjoyed it. There's, you know, it's a big city outside of the Strip.
Yeah. I remember the mayor of Las Vegas who used to drink a bottle of gin every day.
Oh, my God.
And oddly enough, he was mayor until he ran out of term limits, and now his
and
wife...
And ran out of gin.
And ran out of gin. And no, Bombay Sapphire hooked him up, it was fine. And now his wife is mayor.
And so what does she have to go through? Bottle of Grey Goose a day?
No, she stays sober because she says somebody in the house should be able to drive.
All right. So back to Asia.
Back to Asia.
And fewer alcoholic Burgermeisters.
Oh.
So Macau and Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong's a city that a lot of people have been to. It's a fantastic place.
I
one of my
love
favorite
Hong
destinations
Kong.
In the world. The people, the pace, the blah. What was your experience?
I love Hong Kong. I've been to Hong Kong a couple of times now, and I'm going to keep going back every year. It is
every year,
without a doubt. It's one. If I was not Australian, I would live in Hong Kong. It is that awesome. One of the things I particularly like...
I've got goosebumps thinking of the energy. I mean, I love it. Yeah, it really is.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Although this time I went to the, what is it, the Chung Luk Mansions, the infamous building to change some currency that I acquired in Macau. And
wow,
you can buy anything there. It is amazing.
The human organs.
That the hawkers would come up to you and offer you anything you can imagine. Any vice you could possibly imagine. I don't recommend it because, after all, Asia has really strict anti-vice laws. But, wow. The base commerce going on in that building is amazing. And it's the best place to change money in the world, apparently, in terms of competitive rates.
Suppose their overheads are down.
Well, they're subsidising it through other lines of business, I suppose.
Ah, lines of business. I see where you went with that. So what else was Hong Kong to you this time? And how did it separate this trip to Hong Kong than your previous trips? What did you do that was different?
This time I just explored more. I walk a lot when I'm travelling. Mm. And so I think that a really comfortable pair of shoes is thoroughly important, like the essentials for travelling. And I... One of the things that attracted me to Hong Kong and why I decided to go back, I'm an amateur photographer in my free time, and I discovered this building called Sim City in Hong Kong, just off Nathan Road.
Sim City, yes.
It's named like, after the video game. Really bizarre, but anyway.
Art imitating life, imitating art.
I don't know what's going on there. It's a 7-floor building. Mm.
That they knock down once a week.
And then there are the alien invasions. No. It's just filled with used camera gear. And I had to spend time just going through all of this stuff. Unfortunately, I didn't find anything that captured my interest, but...
I'm sure you had a beady, sweaty brow.
I was incredibly thrilled. I was just groping my way through all of these lenses.
So this, like, classic Leica stuff and...
Anything you want is available. More so 1980s onwards. We're talking F-mount stuff for Nikon, you know, modern stuff, and lots of used digital camera stuff. I didn't end up acquiring anything in this particular trip, but I now feel sated having gone through that entire building.
And you know what to do next time.
Yes, I know. I know which stalls are worth going to and which ones aren't.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We have Mr. Dean Beck on the line. Mr. Dean Beck, what's up?
Hello, Mark. I am at the inaugural Pride Cup, the first ever Aussie football rainbow round being played here out at the Yarra Junction football oval. First quarter, silence has just gone. When I tell you, Yarra Glen is 48 points, 7-6-48 to Yarra Junction. 0-3, 3 points, 48-3. So Jason Ball's team's doing pretty well.
That's fantastic. And how's the day? How's the mood? What's going on? Tell us everything.
Well, can I tell you, today has been nothing short of miraculous. It has been an all-encompassing embracing of...
hyperbole?
Equality, of diversity.
It's been superlative, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It has indeed. And it's been amazing to have the AFL support. They sponsored the luncheon that was held here prior to the match. And we've seen Brock McLean, the Carlton midfielder, the Pride Cup ambassador. He's here today, Carlton midfielder. And also we've had... the netball round as well. So that they were being played on the courts behind the clubhouse where I'm speaking to you now from.
Mm. So what else is on for the rest of the day apart from watching the rest of the game?
Well, not much, really.
I would have expected a sausage sizzle.
There is that going on.
Fantastic.
Yes, I can reassure you of that. Directly opposite the clubhouse, I see not one but three rainbow flags that have been put along the boundary line. And, Yarra Glen is determined to win the inaugural Pride Cup, I can guarantee you that. Mm. And at 48-3, I reckon they're well on the way.
Excellent. Well, have a great day. And it is a landmark. And thank you very much for reporting live from the scene.
Mark, thank you very much for crossing to us here at the Yarra Glen Footy Oval.
Excellent, Dean. I'm sure we'll hear more about it very soon. Thank you very much
for
your time.
We'll be back with you in an hour's time.
In an hour's time? Awesome. Can't wait to hear from you. Have a great day, Dean. We'll be on air listening to you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye. So that's fascinating. I mean, AFL's coming a long way.
Oh, it was very generous of them to sponsor the lunch. I mean, you know, all of that hard work that's going on. I can't believe the amount of effort they're putting into homophobia these days. It's quite remarkable.
Into ending homophobia.
I'm sorry.
I assume you mean.
Sorry, one of those speech things.
One of those
most
things.
Unfortunate.
So... you went further afield than the Chinese-speaking Asian countries.
Yes, I did. I went to Japan.
Mm.
This was my first visit to Japan. I learned to speak Japanese in high school, and right. my Japanese high school, my high school Japanese did not fail to fail me at its earliest convenience.
Why?
I found...
Because you didn't need to talk about a mouse on a table or a man wearing
no,
a hat.
No, there was none of that. None of that. No, it was most unfortunate. And I was tempted to put a mouse on a table so that
and
I had
man
something...
a hat.
Yeah, so that I had something to talk about. No, I found... So once again, little things that you discover when you travel, that Google Translate is incredibly useful.
Oh.
And being able to read the characters and actually speak properly was incredibly valuable.
A phenomenal tool for travel.
It really is.
The other day on the tram, there was a couple who didn't speak English, and they showed me which language they were using, and they wanted to ask questions about how to get around and where to get off. Basically, they needed Flinders Street Station, which we established, and the translations must be as funny going from English to, I think it was Mandarin they were speaking, as they were coming back, because it was just this awkward, slightly, it was correct, but just a bit off.
Yes.
And I would reply, and then they would read, and they'd both look at it and show it to each other and have a laugh.
Try and work it out.
But they were going, oh, I see, not a problem. And they're just looking at it in a way like, it's not quite right, but it's pretty close. And we had a whole conversation silently, apart from a few giggles. It was fantastic. And what a great tool.
It's an amazing tool.
If you're
going to go to Japan, I recommend three things. The first thing I recommend is the Hyperpedia app. Google Maps is useless for public transit directions in a language other than English.
Okay.
It has them, but it will not translate them into English. Hyperpedia, on the other hand, is put out by the Hitachi company to help Japanese people go through their incredibly complicated and convoluted rail network, which is amazingly efficient.
Yeah, but complex.
It's complicated. For instance, there are three rail companies competing with each other on different lines with different rolling stock. So it becomes very complicated. I recommend a Japan Rail Pass, which is the biggest company offering rail services.
Does that work on all three?
It only works on Japan Rail, but they cover the entire country, and it's the most affordable way to buy them. And if you're going to get a Japan Rail Pass, spring the little bit extra money and get green class, because it's nice. It's just nice to feel comfortable.
Mm.
And then the third thing I thoroughly recommend is going to what are called game stations. Game stations are video game arcades, and they are the epicenter of what's happening in Japanese youth culture. For example, people will finish work still in their suit and tie, and they will go grab some takeaway food at the local 7-Eleven, eat it on the way to the game center, and then they will play either in the one owned by Sega, one owned by Taito, or whoever.
Oh, okay, so these are sponsored, really.
These are the main revenue drivers for these video game companies, and then they will play video games. And the reason is because Japanese apartments are so small, they can't really do fixtures in their homes. So they will then compete with each other. And I learned so much about gaming. I got involved in a fighter jet game, which I hadn't played in 10 years, which was still very widely played. And I actually got involved in one of these competitions and found myself on the leaderboard quite a bit. It was a great deal of fun. And I just recommend...
So is this all self-organized? People just turn around and say, if you're standing next to some person who has a bunch of
they'll
money...
They'll have it'll be like a pool hall in a way. You know, there'll be
a board.
A board, and you put your name up and you get into the game.
Oh, okay.
It's really a lot of fun, and I do recommend it. And gamer culture around the world is very inclusive and very welcoming. Mm. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, especially if you're a nerd like me, going into that culture, it almost feels like my primary culture globally, and it can be very a very safe place to sneak into. And it was utterly awesome. Mm. I thoroughly recommend it. I also definitely recommend getting off the beaten track. I found myself in Kanazawa.
I've never heard of it.
It's a beautiful city.
Enlighten me.
It's a beautiful city on the west coast of Japan where they have the Ninja Castle.
For real.
They have the Ninja Temple, and they also have Kanazawa Castle. And it's the most beautiful Japanese castle ever. It is utterly gorgeous. I thoroughly recommend going and having a look there. I also recommend taking the Shinkansen across the entire country and having a look and just enjoying the time.
What's the Shinkansen? Explain that.
That's the bullet train which runs everywhere. It is more.
Is it really made of bullets?
No, it's really not. No, no, no. It's shaped like one.
And it's so named because it's fast.
It's incredibly fast.
How fast did you get to go?
It was travelling at about 450 kilometres on some other routes.
That's really fast.
And it's an incredibly efficient way to travel.
Do your ears pop at that speed?
No. No, it's incredibly smooth. It's smoother than a local train. You're just calm and comfortable, and they bring you little beverages. It's lovely.
Is it expensive?
No, because the Japan Rail Pass covers all of those in one flat fee. Mm. For example, a three-week Japan Rail Pass in the equivalent to business class was $850 Australian, and that was unlimited travel all over Japan. It was incredibly efficient, no security like airports, none of that business. Brilliant way to get around. Mm. If you're travelling domestically in Japan, you have to go by train. Mm. I also went to...
Because you can't really fly into Japan, can you?
Well, they do have a lot of domestic aviation, but it's just ridiculous. When you're talking about such an efficient system,
exactly.
it makes no sense. Mm.
Well, they've got the population density and the size of the country. It all works.
It all works out.
Like here, it doesn't. It just doesn't pencil to have rail.
Yeah, I also went to an Osen, which is a Japanese bathhouse, and not in the traditional...
With the towel on the head.
Yes, with the towel on the head, yes. it was an experience I do recommend.
Yeah.
It was very odd sitting in a hot bath with a lot of naked strangers. And
so what do? Just sit there?
You sit there and relax.
And avert your gaze.
Yes. It is an important part of their culture. And there's a whole ritual about going into it. You have to, when you get to the Osen, you wash yourself very thoroughly and shave and everything. And then you put the little towel on your head and sink into the water. But you're already clean. You're not there to bathe. You're just there to soak.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the waters in Victorian parlance. Mm-hmm. And then you...
It's good for your vapours.
It's good for your... Yes, it's good for the fit of the vapours.
Good humours.
Brings everything back to sensibility. I went to Takayama for that, and I stayed in a hotel which had its very own, and it was lovely. It was a lovely experience, very relaxing.
So were these those beautifully minimalist Japanese-designed hotels?
Incredibly minimalist. Mm. I also went to a small heritage-listed village. The entire village is heritage-listed, called Shirakawa-go, and it's an Edo-period farming village, and they make rice and whatnot.
Is this where the ladies have the amazing hands which inspired SK-II cosmetics?
I don't know. Mm. I couldn't tell you. But what was really impressive about this particular place was I stayed in a traditional ryokan and slept on the floor for the first time since I was a child and discovered that, no, I'm a decadent Westerner. So that was lovely. But it was still snowing, and the spring thaw was still happening, and it was just an incredible experience.
You took a lot of photos, I'm assuming.
I took a lot of photos. If you were following me on Instagram, you were spammed quite significantly. I apologise.
You're on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Tell us what your next journey is.
Malaysia. I'm going to Malaysia in August.
Malaysia, truly Asia.
Malaysia, truly Asia. And it's one of those things where on Boxing Day, I had returned from the family obligations, and I found myself having that post-flight flu. It's not actually a flu, it's just, you know that upset. Yep. And I was feeling sorry for myself, and Jetstar was having a sale, so I pulled out the credit card, and now I'm committed to going to Malaysia with a friend in 7 weeks. So I'm going to have to learn a whole new currency system and get all very confused about everything.
And you're going to have to come back on Joy 94.9 and tell us all about it. Thank you, James.
Anytime.
Really appreciate your telling us all about your journeys.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.